So that is the opening track from the new Indigo Girls album. You're both from Atlanta, Georgia. And in that song, Amy, you shout out lots of things that people might think of as kind of stereotypically Southern, like granddaddy was a preacher, the salt of the earth kind of folks. Kudzu makes an appearance in that song. And kudzu is an invasive plant that's a real problem in parts of America. It has a nickname, the vine that ate the South. And I was wondering, what does kudzu signify in that track?
It's, for me, it signified covering up all of these inequities and injustices and the underbelly of the South that I, when I was a really young kid, I had a sneaking suspicion something wasn't quite right, but I wasn't sure what it was, you know? And I think this song talks about that, the formative years of my life. And I basically was saying, you know, the kudzu, it kind of covered all these things up for me. And I had to tear it all away to rediscover who I am and my legacy and my family's legacy as a, you know, fifth, sixth, whatever, how many ever generations we've been in the South. And the, you know, the skeletons in the closet, basically. And you got to learn to love them. You know, you can disagree with them, but they're there.
I mean, your relationship with the South is something that seems to inform not just your music, but as you said, your politics too. And you've always been politically active. Over the last few months, there have been protests around the country against anti-Black racism and police brutality. What's been on your mind as you've been watching those protests happen where you are? Emily, maybe we can start with you.
Well, first, it's no shock that the racial injustice that's been going on, the racial violence, the racial profiling. I mean, it's just a continuation from slavery on down through the years. So, and after the death of George Floyd, it's no wonder that that was the spark that lit another fire. But these are systemic, this is systemic racism and oppression. So, you know, it's a problem that white people are going to really have to work on within themselves. You know, I want to be part of change as much as I can, but the first thing I have to do is to learn about my own racism. So, and, you know, now we have a Black Asian American vice presidential candidate, which is at least symbolic, if not actual change that's happening. So I've gone from despair to now dare I hope. But in the meantime, there's work to be done. So I think that's the focus of what I think about and how I've experienced it.
Amy, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, whoa. it is a crazy revolutionary time, you know? And I mean, I feel like all the way back to like Parkland, Florida and those kids spearheading that movement, and then Greta Thunberg with the climate change activists and Black Lives Matter starting. And I'm just like blown away by the activism, honestly, and heartened, because I'm just like, you know, we've been doing activism for a long time, but it needs to be reinvented and evolve over time. You can't just be, you need to be informed by the older, your elders, and by the younger generation. It needs to be intergenerational. And I think we're finally starting to understand that. And I hope, anyway. And so it's been very moving to me. I went to a couple of protests in Atlanta, and I started one up here in my little mountain town that was actually really well attended. I live in a very conservative place. It's probably 95% Republican voters. We had a great turnout. We had a bunch of people of color speak, and a really great activist. And it was a big deal, because we usually have the big white supremacist presence and the KKK shows up and it's like a mess, but it was only like a group of like five guys that came to kind of intimidate people, but they were like totally like by themselves and alone. So I looked at it as progress. We have a lot of problems in the South, but we also have a lot of answers, you know? And it's like, we have, you know, the prophet John Lewis that died recently. I mean, he influenced so many activists and so many young people, and really you can keep him in your mind all the time. So like every time I think, well, what would John Lewis do? That's what I always ask myself. And I'm like, well, he'd march, or he'd do the hard thing, you know? And that's, it's kind of like there's these leaders that we have that are from the South that are just, and people that no one's heard of too, that inspire Emily and I and have done amazing things in the prison system or just locally. And so, I don't know, it's an inspiring time. It's a troubled time, but to answer that trouble, there's so much great stuff happening.
I mean, I'm talking to you on August 12th, and today your social media has been entirely taken over by something called Project Say Something. Maybe one of you could give us just a quick explainer of what Project Say Something is.
Sure, sure. Emily, do you want to do it?
Sure. Well, a friend of ours reached out to us because she became aware of this group, Project Say Something, out of Florence, Alabama. They're trying to deal with racial inequality. Currently, one of the projects they're working on is to get this Confederate monument, which is at the courthouse in Lauderdale County, Florence, Alabama. And they want to have it relocated. They don't want to bash it with hammers. They just want to relocate it to an appropriate place, like a Confederate cemetery, you know. And they're receiving death threats, and they've had all kinds of opposition from local and state government. And so Project Say Something, we wanted to amplify their voices by letting them take over our social media so that people can know that it's not a given that Confederate monuments are coming down. There are still people who are risking their lives to have them either taken down or removed.
You know, I've spoken to a few artists on this show, specifically artists who are from the South, who've been politically outspoken over the last few months, and I've dealt with some backlash from fans. Is that something that you've experienced?
I'm sure we have. I don't read it all, but I have this weird filter in my head, and I can look through our Facebook feed and Twitter and stuff, and I can just skip all those.
That's a good strategy.
I don't skip them. I don't skip things if they have merit. And I want to understand where people are coming from, because I live in a town where if you don't try to understand where people are coming from, you got to leave, because you won't survive. So I try to do that. But people get upset. But it's like this is kind of like a no-brainer. It's a racism thing, you know, and it's. I don't know. You know, it's like if you lived in Germany and you have monuments to the Nazis and Hitler, how would you feel? You know, and it's like this. I'm a Southerner. I'm like a redneck. I'm like somebody that had to come to this. You know, from when I was a kid, having the rebel flag and thinking it was so cool, I had to realize what all this meant and what it really was, and that most of these things were erected, you know, in the early 20s and 1900s, when there was a resurgence of KKK activity, and if you read the speeches at the when they erect these memorials and the speeches that were given, they are so racist and hateful, and they tell you exactly why that monument was erected, and it's never because of history, and so we don't forget our family. It's like this is because we want to intimidate people of a color. That's what it's for. It's to intimidate you. It's like, well, you got the vote. Let's intimidate you. Oh, you're getting jobs. Let's intimidate you. It's too hard to live, you know, where you are. And our perspective is like, you cannot own the South as a racist. We are here and we're going to take it back. And that's just the way we feel about it. And so we're going to, if people want to complain about it, it's fine. You know, they have a right to, but it doesn't dissuade me. Ever. You know, I just feel like right on, you know, we're making some noise. It's working, you know.
This is World Cafe. I'm speaking to Emily and Amy of Indigo Girls. You've been performing songs from your new album, Look Long, but you also brought us one from your 2004 album, All That We Let In. Why did you choose to play your song Dairy Queen for us today?
I think I was thinking about my mom. She always wants us to play that song. There's two songs she likes, Secure Yourself and Dairy Queen. So... I don't know.
This one goes out to Amy Ray's mom.
Yeah.
Indigo Girls with Dairy Queen on World Cafe.